Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We love the Lord on today. In Jesus' name, we glorify him. We magnify the name of Jesus. Lord God, we thank you for being here on today. I'm so gracious and so blessed to be able to say again, welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. I want to first start this show off with a very, very special thanks to all, to each and every one of our listeners. I know I don't usually start the show off that way, but we're going to start it off like that today. Amen. We praise God for our listeners, and we worship him for each and every one of you listening to this show and the shows throughout the week on the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. And today we are talking about a very, very powerful topic. I just want to encourage you guys today. I want to encourage you all on today and just to have you guys here with me on today. I want to encourage you and tell you that the Lord is here to bless you. He's here to honor you. He's here to give you what you need on today. I thank God for allowing us another day, giving us another day, allowing us to see another day in Jesus' name. A lot of things that we are faced with throughout our lives. But I'm here to tell you on today that God is still great. He's still wonderful. He's still merciful unto us. He's still all-knowing. He's still omnipotent. He's still what he says he is. Amen. He's still the I am that I am. Like he told Moses, in Jesus' name, he's still what he says he is. Amen. He's still everything that we stand in need of. He's still everything that we stand in need of. Amen. And I just got a question come in to the through my office, and I'm going to answer this question. I usually allow all the questions to come through Bishop Cook and through the chat room, but today I was asked a question on today, and today it kind of hit me very, very big. It kind of hit me very, very big because there was a lot of things ran through my mind when the question was brought to me on today. Person asked me, how can I live this life? And I'm seeing other people go and do the things that they're doing, and they're calling themselves saved, and they're calling themselves, Christians and all of this stuff. Well, I'm going to answer that question on today, and I'm going to try to answer it through the power of the Holy Ghost on today. First things first, we must all first know that we can make it. We can make it in this life. We can make it in our Christian walk. on this earth, on this, in this earthly realm. Number two, we have something that the world does not, and that is the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to go through life, being able to go through the tests and the trials of life. Amen. We have the Holy Ghost. He sent the Holy Ghost after Jesus died. He said that when he resurrected, before he died, he said, if I do not depart, the Comforter will not come. Amen. And he sent forth the Comforter and on the day of Pentecost. And we're going to read that because a lot of people do not understand the full knowledge of what the Holy Ghost can do for us, and it is a keeper. But the one thing that we have to do in our walk, and a lot of us don't like to do it, is we have to deny ourselves. We have to learn how to deny ourselves and learn how to follow the things of Christ. And that is the most important part of a Christian walk, denying yourself. And when that question was posed to me, I gave them that answer, you have to deny yourself. Now, will you do everything? I mean, will everything in life be done right? Possibly, no. 9 times out of 10, no. Everything that you do, every thought that you think, every idea that you might have won't always be the correct one. It's just like a parent, you know, parenting a child. Parents are not perfect. Parents make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But the thing is, with the Holy Ghost, with some preachers, they say, well, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make them, which we are. That's where repentance comes in. That's why the Bible says repent daily. But the thing is, you don't have to make a mistake. It is a difference, and I'm going to go there. There is a difference between making a mistake and just all out, you just going full force into sin. It's a difference. Because if you're full force going into sin and you know you're about to sin and the Holy Ghost done warned you and you still fall into it, that is not a mistake. And especially if you keep doing it, those are not mistakes. But if you think a wrong way or if you make a quick decision on doing something, that would be considered a mistake. Now, now let me show y'all something. When in school, whether it be high school, middle school, elementary school, what the teacher does is that throughout the week, they give you work throughout that week, amen, to get you prepared. They give you assignment after assignment on a certain subject, right? They get you prepared for that subject, amen. They give you, assignments, maybe some homework. You come back to class the next day, you're still working on the same subject every day. It's like repetition. And at the end of that week, you get a test, right? Amen. And if you do, and if you have studied, and if you have done everything you can do for that full week, and you've done everything you can, and you take that test and you fail. Let's just say, and this is just hypothetically here. Let's just say hypothetically, hey, I failed. I did everything I could to pass my test. I studied. If it's a math test, I studied every number. I studied every book that they gave me, that the teacher gave me, but I still failed. Then the teacher says, okay, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance to retake the test because I'm not going to give you something else until you pass this test. Okay? That's the same thing with the Lord. He's not going to give you another test until you pass that one. But we see in our walk with Christ that, hey, sometimes we might have to, we might study and read the Word of God and you know, fast and pray and da-da-da-da-da, and something might happen, a test might take place, and we end up accidentally failing it because we made a quick decision. Now, the Holy Ghost gave us warning. Because the Bible says warning come before destruction. But we, as people, we make a quick decision. We get into our emotions and we make a quick decision and we mess up. That whole of that teacher in the natural says, wait a minute, I'm not going to give you another test. Or I'm not going to let you go to the other assignments until you pass this. I'm going to give you another chance to pass this test. And then God sends you through that test again. That's the same thing. Because he wants you to understand. He wants you to understand. You have to do what the way God tells us to do it. Just the same thing with that teacher. Amen? To be able to make it through that class. To make it through that class, you got to listen to that teacher. Through every assignment in a classroom with a teacher, you have to listen to that teacher on every assignment that you have, on every subject. Amen? To gain the knowledge to be able to one day maybe teach others. Amen? And that's the same thing with the Lord. The Lord gives us the knowledge. The Lord allows us to go. Because have you ever heard of the saying there's visual learners, there's hands-on learners, there's I don't know the other names of them, but I know hands-on learners, there's visual learners, there's all types of different styles of learning, right? And he equips us with God in the spiritual. He equips us to be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy because the enemy does not come in the exact same way that he came the last time. Now watch this. He uses three different things. It's the same root, but it's just different agenda. It's the same agenda, just different roots. I'm sorry. Just different roundabouts. Amen. It's the same agenda. The same agenda for the enemy, to steal, kill, and destroy you. Okay? That's his agenda. This test that teacher gives you is there to stump you. Amen? And I'm talking about in the natural. That test that teacher gives you is there to test you, to test your knowledge of what you know. Amen? That teacher is going to hand you that test to try to see what you know. Amen? And that test is there to try to stump you and make you think, okay? Wait a minute. Let me go back and think about what I learned. These tests that we have in our lives are there to teach us what to do when we go through it. If we've been through this test, especially if you've been through the test several times, the same test several times, these tests are here to teach you what to do in that time so that you can be ready for the next test. I really didn't have a title for the topic today. The Lord didn't give me one. And that's why, as I said, I'm just here to encourage today. But when you go through the test of life, when you go through the trials of life, it does not matter what you're going through. To God, it does not matter what you're going through, because when he sees you going through a test, he won't put more on you than what you can bear. Because number one, and I want you to take this down, number one, He won't put more on you than what you can bear, number one. Number two, he understands your level of tolerance to the tests and trials of life. That's why the scripture says he won't put more on you than what you could bear. He understands your spiritual tolerance. Amen? So he won't give you a test. You're wondering why. Some people wonder why. Well, Lord, why am I still going through this? Lord, why am I still going through this? Lord, I haven't been through this before. Lord, why am I still battling with this? It's because you have not understood, or we have not understood what God is trying to teach us. So God allows us to go through. He will not put more of a test on you, or he will not allow, I'm not going to say he puts it on us, because he doesn't bring sin on us. He doesn't bring tests on us. He doesn't tempt us. But he allows the test to come to show us where we are, to see our level of faith, to allow us to see where we are in him. Because there's a lot of people that say, well, I'm set, and I hate this. I hate this. When I go to church and I see people that's been saved for years, and they say, well, I would never, ever do nothing like that. I would never, ever do this. I would never, ever do that. Don't ever say what you will not do. I don't care, because you are just a sin away. And I say this, because without the Holy Ghost, you are meant for hell. Everybody. Everybody was meant for hell. Why? And you had no, and look, when I say everybody was meant for hell, at the beginning, when Adam sinned, everybody was meant for hell. Everybody. From Adam on down to now, everybody was meant for hell. Why? Because man and God were separated. Their relationship was messed up because of sin. So it had nothing to do with what I did. It had nothing to do with what you did. It had nothing to do with what Bishop Cook did. It had nothing to do with my mama and my daddy and my aunts and my uncles and nieces and nephews, whatever. It don't matter. You can go all down through the line of your family tree. It had nothing to do with what they did. It has something to do with this thing called sin coming into the realm of life. Sin took its place in life. Why? Because Adam chose to disobey the Creator, the one who gave life. Amen? He chose to disobey. He chose to move away from the knowledge that he had. God gave Adam knowledge of what would take place if he did this. If he ate of the forbidden fruit that God told him not to eat of, he told Adam what would happen. He gave him the knowledge, just like God gives us the knowledge. Like I said, a warning comes before destruction. It started at the beginning of time. But we as people, we just have to listen to the warning. My former pastor preached, listen to the warning signs. There's warning signs all over this world. There's warning signs. And look, let me tell you something. The things that are going on now, and I'm not just talking about the things that are just going on in our neighborhoods. I'm not just talking about that, but the things that are going on around the world. We see President Biden talking about Afghanistan and things like that. All of this stuff that is going on right now is leading up to the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is right at hand. Amen. And you can make it. You can make it. But you have to understand, you as an individual and me as an individual, we have to understand, number one, we have to understand that we have power, not of ourselves, but of in God to withstand the wiles of the enemy. We have power. The Bible tells us that we have power. But it is up to us
to not only take on that power, but also to use that power that God has given. Because you can have power all day, and if you don't use it, then it's to no effect. It's to no avoid. Amen. Let me show y'all something. We must deny ourselves to receive the things that God has got for us. You might say, well, I don't have to deny myself. When I mean deny yourself, I mean deny the things of the flesh. Deny the desires of your flesh. Deny the desires of the world. Amen. The only way that you can follow Jesus is denying yourself. And I guess there it is. Today, I guess that's today's topic, deny yourself. Deny yourself. There are a lot of people in this world today that do not want to deny themselves. They want to deny somebody else, but they don't want to deny themselves. And that in the spirit, you have to. We have to. I ain't just going to say you. Me too. We have to deny ourselves. And you can't walk with this Holy Ghost. You can't walk a Christian walk without denying yourself. You have to deny yourself. We have to deny ourselves. I have to deny myself. Amen. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24, and I'm going to read verses 24 through 28. I'm going to read that. And it reads, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." We've already seen that. The Bible, we just read it. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, to deny ourselves. We must, we have to deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. Despite what people might say, man, you need to live your life. God will forgive you. Oh, he's a loving God. Oh, he's a just God. He just told us to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him. He didn't say, take up your cross, follow me, and do whatever you want to do. Don't work that way. And I believe I've said this before. Let me show y'all something. If you stand, no, I haven't said this part before, but in the natural and in the spiritual, you can't bring God just anything. God will not just accept just anything. Amen? Amen? And God is not going to accept just anybody or anything in heaven. Amen? If you want to take it to a natural sense or an earthly sense, you as an individual, if you go visit somebody that's I'll use President Biden. Nobody can just walk up to President Biden because he's got security around him, right? Even the former president, President Trump, President Obama, none of these presidents you could just walk up to because they're held on high esteem, right? You can't just walk into a press briefing with the president in there. You gotta have some prestige, some clarity of why you're there, right? You gotta have something. You gotta have a certain job or a certain thing about you to be in those meetings, right? That's the same thing with heaven. And you might say, well, that sounds a little bit. Where are you taking this, Minister Adam? If you stand before you, nobody can just stand before the Queen of England, be in her presence. You're not just gonna wear just anything for the Queen of England. You're just gonna wear just anything or look just any kind of way. If you know you're going to see the president, right? You're gonna try to look your best, right? You're going to try to dress the best because you're going to see the president. You're going to see, or you might want to see your famous or favorite gospel artist or whatever. You want them to see your best, right? That's the same thing with the Lord in heaven. You got to put on your best. You got to put on your holy best, which means being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Taking off the garments of sin and putting on the garments of righteousness to make sure you are making sure you have it on the whole armor of God in front of him. Amen. You're not just going to put on, look, if you know you're going to see me personally as a kid, and I'll use this. As a kid, my father used to take me to go, because I used to like going to go see wrestling. And every now and then I got to see my favorite superstars or, you know, stuff like that. And one day I liked it so much that when I became an adult, I would go with one of my friends to go see the wrestling matches. And one day I was able to meet one of the superstars that I like to see. And you know what? It was so intriguing to me because I had never met this individual before. I've always saw him on TV, and you know, as a kid I would watch him on TV and things like that. And you know, when I was standing in front of him, I was slurring my words and stuff like that and, you know, trying to give him respect because I liked what he did, you know. That's the same thing with the Lord. We give a lot of respect to the things of this world and not to God. We expect God to take on anything. We expect God to love us the way just to love us to take on anything. To love us so much that he just takes anything, that he'll accept anybody into heaven. Look, let me tell you something. Yes, Jesus loves us. The songwriter said, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, he loves us. And you know what? He loves us so much that with our actions tell God where we want to go. Uh-oh. Our lip service, it tells God where we want to go, but our actions speak louder than our words. That saying has always been true. Your actions speak louder than your words. And your actions and the way you live your life for Christ or the way you don't live your life for Christ tells God where you want to go. You might say you want to go to heaven. I might say I want to go to heaven, but if I'm living ungodly, there is no ungodly thing in heaven. And if I'm living ungodly, then I can't expect to go to heaven. If I'm partying it up and living it up the way the world would have it, and the Bible said, and the Bible is contradicting to that. The Bible says don't do that. The Word of God says don't do this, and I'm doing what the world what the world is doing, and I'm doing opposite of the Bible, what the Bible says. I can't expect to go to heaven because I haven't denied myself. The Bible, we just read it. He said, deny yourself. We must first deny ourselves. And yes, he does love us. Jesus does love us. And he loves us to the point that he will send us where we want to go. That's deep. He loves us so much that he will not force us to go to heaven. That's deep. He will not force us. He said, he's like this. And this is the way, and I'm paraphrasing it. But the Lord does it like this. If you want to go, if you want to live it up and party it up, and you want to do the things that you want to do and go against my word, that's fine. You can do that. But at the end of the day, you will not make it into heaven like that. But if you want to live that way, God's not going to force you to live for him. Just like he's not going to force me. He doesn't force me to do this. He's not twisting my arm. He's not. Now, he does send warnings. He will do that because out of his love, out of his mercy, out of his grace. And I hate it when preachers sit over there and say, well, we're covered by the dispensation of grace. Look, okay, let me tell y'all something. The dispensation of grace, let me explain this to you. Grace and mercy are not to be taken lightly. And when you sit over there, when a preacher sits over there and says, we're covered by grace and you can do whatever you want to do. Basically, that's what they're saying. We're covered by grace, you can do whatever you want to. Or once saved, always saved, which was in my growing up, it was once saved, always saved and all of that. That you could do whatever you want to do and still be saved. Not so. That goes for me. That goes for anybody else. That's it. But we, look, God wants to know, do we really want this? Do we really, really want to go to heaven? Do we really want the joys of life from him? Do we really want this? Because we have to give some action. And we can say we believe in God, but belief is an action word, y'all. Belief, when we say we believe, belief means I'm going to show my belief. I can say all day that a chair can hold me up, but if I don't sit in that chair, then I don't know if that chair can hold me up. I can announce to the world that a steel chair can hold me up or a wooden chair can hold me up. But if I don't sit in that steel chair, if I don't sit in that wooden chair, the world may never know it can hold me up unless I sit in it. once I sit in that chair, then my belief is activated. Then my belief is real. Because I've put in forth the action. I sat down in that chair, and I've shown that it can hold me up. I didn't just talk about it, but I did it. I proved it. The Bible says, prove me. But we got to deny ourselves. And that ain't all. And when and you might say, well, if I deny myself, then I won't be able to have any fun. I won't be able to go here, go there. I won't be able to do this, do that. Look, let me show y'all something. Don't you know that the Lord, first of all, the Lord's not crazy. The Lord's not stupid, okay? The devil is. But God's not. Have you ever realized that if God takes something away from us, that he'll give us something better than what we had? Has it ever dawned on us that if he allows something to be taken out of our lives, if he tells us to come out of sin, come out of that life, come out of that life, come out of that life, don't you think that the Lord is gracious and glorious enough to give us something better than what we have? Now, watch this. Watch this. When the enemy says, when the enemy tries to pull us away from the things of God, each side has something. The things of God, look, watch this. The ways of God, if we turn to the ways of God, God has something for us. If we turn to the ways of sin, sin has something for us. But only one has joy in it. Only one has destruction in it. But both sides have something to give. Both sides. The enemy has something to give us. If we choose to walk on the enemy's territory, he has something for us. But look, watch this. The enemy doesn't give us a warning about what's waiting for us. Have you ever noticed when you read the Word of God and you notice that when the Word of God talks about the enemy never gives us a clear picture on what we're about to embark in? If we choose to live in the world system, in our flesh, but God gives us warnings. On the Lord's side, he gives us warnings. He gives us blessings. He gives us everything that we need. He paints a clear picture for us on what's good and ready to take place. But the enemy never gives us a clear picture on what's getting ready to take place if we choose to follow the things of the world. And the only reason why you know about the things the only reason why anybody, from me to Bishop Cook, to anybody that's ever been out there in the world, to everyone who's been in a church pew all their life, to the person that has grown up in church, to the person that hasn't grown up in church, the clear picture is this. God gives us a clear picture on what's getting ready to happen. The enemy does not. He does not give you a clear picture on what's getting ready to take place in your life when you choose to follow sin. He don't want you to know. But guess what? The only reason why you know that in sin there's destruction is because of God. Not only does God give you a clear picture on what he has for you, he gives you a clear picture on what the enemy has got for you on the other side after a person walks in sin. He said it. The wages of sin is what? Death. He gives us a clear picture on both sides. He tries to let us, hey, look, if you're going to make a choice, if you're going to make a choice on what side to go on, I'm going to give you a clear picture on both sides. I'm not just going to give you a one-sided picture. The devil tries to give you a one-sided picture. Hey, look, it looks glorious over here. It's glorious over here. He don't tell you about the destruction. He just says, it's nice over here. Come on over here. Step out of that church mode. Step out of that old school church, that old-fashioned church. Come on over here and party it up with us. And come on now. Come on, let's be real about this thing. But we can make it, but we got to deny ourselves. Come on, let's be real about this thing. Let's be real. Let's be real. Can I be serious for a minute? If we would understand, and mentally understand, the full knowledge of the Word of God, if we come into the clear picture of the knowledge of God, if we see it for what it is, God is a great God. He allows us to do what we want to do, whether we serve him or not. But he tells us in our serving our flesh, there's destruction. In our serving him, there's joy. He gives us a clear picture on both sides. What kind of God? What other kind of God does that? No other type of God does that. You might say, well, and I'm not fighting against anybody else's religion. You can believe what you want to believe. If you don't like me, turn me off. If you don't like what I'm saying right now, you can turn me off. If you in church and don't like what I'm saying right now, you can turn me off. Because we're here to help everybody. But when I'm here to, what the Lord is bringing me here to say, I'm not going to even say what I'm here to say because this ain't my word. What the Lord has brought me here to say is that we have to deny ourselves. We have to. And look, let me show y'all something. There are a lot of people that will tell you in the church, oh, that's old school. Oh, that was for them back then. Oh, that's old church. We gotta stay focused to the modern age church. I don't like this modern age church. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because it's not that I don't like the person, because I love the individual. I just don't like the ways of the individual and the thoughts of the individual. All right? What we have to understand is that, number one, in whatever was done in the old days, or in the Bible days, or in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, 90s, whatever. Back then, you had people flocking to the church. They had respect for the house of God. Amen. Nowadays, you can have anything you want up inside the church. You can have anything up inside the church. You can do it anyway. You can run it anyway. You can do it. Let me tell y'all. The Word of God does not change. But let's go to Jude. Jude 3. And I'm only going to read a piece of this verse because I love this. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye shall earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto, not unto the saints. The faith that the word of God, the salvation that was brought unto the saints of old, is the same faith, is the same salvation that is supposed to be now. So if it was the Holy Ghost back then, it's the Holy Ghost now. If it was salvation then, it is salvation now. If it was speaking in tongues then, it's speaking in tongues now. If it's being filled with the Holy Ghost then, it's being filled with the Holy Ghost right now. If it's Acts 2 and 38 then, it's Acts 2 and 38 now. I even take it further than that, because there's a lot of people that's getting filled with the Holy Ghost. But do you believe what you've been filled with? Do you really believe? Do we really believe what we've been filled with? Because if we believe it, we're going to walk in it. My uncle used to say, my uncle JC used to say, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Because without the walk, ain't nothing but talk. You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Because without the walk, it's just nothing but talk. It's just none but talk. And look, I put a post on Facebook. And that post, the Lord gave to me to put on there. And it just came to me. And the Lord told me to put it on Facebook. And he said, we have to make a choice before the time will come where we won't have a choice. We have to make a choice. Because there'll come a time where we won't have a choice. It's either heaven or hell. It's heaven or hell, one or the other. It's either heaven or hell. It's either you put away the childish things, you put away the games, you put away the playing church. The Bible says that when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. We have to put away the childish things of our lives. We got to stop playing the church games. Stop playing the church games. Stop playing the whole game of, I'm living for the Lord on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, I'm living like the devil. It's time to put that away. It's time to stop worrying about what friends say about us and worry about what God says about us. It's time for us to walk in our destiny. It's time for each and every one of us to walk in our destiny. And yeah, you might have circumstances come your way where things might jump in the way of you getting to your destiny. But the Bible says in Philippians 3 and 13 and 14, it says, brethren, I count not myself to be brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have to press. It's all about press. It's all about the press. We have to, in denying ourselves, we have to press. We have to press to deny ourselves. Because it's hard. I get it. I understand it. Sometimes it's hard to deny yourself because you want to live life and you want to do this and you want to do that. And I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but let me tell you something. It is a better life being on the lower side than it is being in the world. The world is filled with misery, and I'm not talking about the earth. I'm not talking about the earth now. I'm talking about the world system, the world's outlook on the way you should live your life. Because the world's outlook on the way you should live life, you get to do anything you want to do. You get to live your life any kind of way, and the Lord will be accepting of it. No, it's not so. Oh, you can choose to go to church or you can choose not to go to church. You can choose to live saved or you can choose not to live saved. You can do this. You can do that. Sometimes if you want to be saved, you can do this and do that, and live any kind of way, and still be saved? Not so. The Bible didn't say that. A lot of the world system does not go according to the Word of God. And you know what? Let me share this with you. It is a mind thing. And I understand a lot of people. I understand because this is what the Lord is giving to me right now. A lot of people think I've done too much. I've done a whole lot. The Lord won't accept me. I've done too much. I've done this. I've done that. Do you know Saul, before he became Paul, he persecuted the church? Man, the Bible called himself the chief sinner. I'm the chief sinner, which means he's the first. But if the Lord can forgive him, then the Lord can forgive you. And that's what it's all about. But in his forgiveness, we have to take on his forgiveness, and taking on his forgiveness is repenting of our sins and forgetting those things which are behind us. Don't worry about what, because you know what? You know the only person that's going to remember what you've done or what I've done in the past? The enemy. There's only two sets of people that's going to remember what you and I have done in our past. The enemy and the ones that think you can't live it. Oh, I remember when he was like this, and I remember when she was like this, and Lord, this is the enemy talking, because the enemy, just like he did with Job, he goes before God every day. Every day he goes before God trying to tell God, hey, look, God, so-and-so has done this to you, and so-and-so has done that to you, and why you die for this person, and why do you die for him, and why did you die for her? But the Lord said, that's my child. That's my child. You might say, well, once I get myself to a new level, I'll drop everything for him. Once I get myself together, I'll start going to church. Once I start, look, drop all that. You can't get yourself together, because if you could get yourself together, you wouldn't need the Holy Ghost. You wouldn't need God altogether. God wouldn't have had to die for people's sins if people could do that. If people could get if everybody could get themselves together before they become a Christian or before they start their walk with God, there wouldn't need to be a walk with God, because everybody could get themselves together. And that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible didn't say you get yourself together and then come unto me. He said deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Drop everything. He told a rich man, leave out all that stuff behind and follow me. But the rich man didn't want to do it. He wanted his riches. Amen. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset you. Lay it aside. Every weight that is hurting on you. Every weight that you have boggled down on you. Lay it aside. Give it to him. That's what the altar is there for. He gave you the power to come boldly to the throne of grace. That's why he gave us altars. If we, to lay, the altar is there for you to come to him and talk to him and tell him what's going on with you. He didn't say for you to stand aside. He don't want you, look, for the people that say, well, I'm going to get myself together and then I'm going to follow Christ. He don't want you to do that. He don't want you to do that. Want me to do that. He don't want Bishop Cook to do that. If Bishop Cook got a problem, he want Bishop Cook to bring it to him. Don't try to fix it yourself. Because if you try to fix it yourself, you might end up messing up even worse. And everything that ain't broke don't need to be fixed. Because in that brokenness, you might have something that's not broke. And if you try to fix it yourself, you might break something else that ain't been broke before. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But you trying to fix something that God's done told you, bring to him and let him fix it. He said he will mend broken and confused hearts. If your heart is broken, he'll mend it back together. If your family's torn apart, he'll mend that family back together. He said it. He said this. And we have to take it upon ourselves. That's what the Bible says, faith without works is dead. The Bible did not say for us to sit there and, I'm going to try to fix it myself, and then I'm going to come to Christ. No, the Bible says faith without works is dead. You can have all the faith in the world, but unless you show your works, the works is coming to him, telling him about it, and letting him deal with it. You ever heard of, if you take one step, he'll take two? That's the whole point. You take that one step of bringing it to him. Bring everything you are. Bring everything about you to him. Lord, I'm this way. I need help in this area. I need help in that area. And just cry out to him. That's what he wants. That's why he said deny yourself. And in denying yourself, you know what that is? You know what that is? When you say, I'm going to fix it myself, that ain't nothing but pride. Pride coming before destruction and the Holy Spirit before a fall. And that's the way the enemy works. I didn't bring it out earlier, but there are three areas that the way the enemy tries to get us. There's only three areas, and these are the same three areas that he tempted Jesus with in the Garden of Gethsemane: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. When your pride gets hit, or when your pride gets hit, you feel some type of way, right? You feel less than, right? Don't worry about all that. Let the pride go. You're human. I'm human. We mess up. We make mistakes. We feel like we live in a society now that doesn't want to make a mistake, that doesn't want to feel like, hey, I did wrong. They don't want to face the judgment of being wrong. Deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with the wrong in your life. deal with it. Just deal with it. Just deal with it, get it over with, and live your life. Live your life for Christ. After you done dealt with it, you'll be much better. After I deal with mine, I'll be much better. We just got to deal with it. The Bible says we can deal with it. We can deal with it. With the help of the Lord, we can deal with it. How do I know? How do I know with the help of the Lord I can deal with it? Well, number one, Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. You might feel weak afterwards. You might feel weak during. But when you're weak, you're strong. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. You'll gain so much joy once you deal with that problem, once you face that issue. A lot of people say, I ain't no punk, but you can't deal with your issues. You can't deal with the issues that are going on in your life. We try to make excuses for every issue that we have. I know I done made some. I've made a lot in my life. In 33 years of living, I done made a lot of excuses on why I can't do this, on why I can't do that, on why I can't do this, on why I haven't gone there, on why I haven't gone there. I've even made excuses to God before. God, I didn't do this because of this. I didn't do this because this person over here or that person over there. That ain't nothing but excuses. Deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with it and get it over with. If you dealing with different spirits, deal with them. And I'm about to go there. If you dealing with a spirit of pornography, deal with it. If you dealing with a spirit of lust, deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with those spirits that you are being boggled down with. Deal with it and get it over with. Because you're only hurting yourself. I'm only hurting myself if I don't deal. If I got a problem in my life and I'm not dealing with the problem, only thing I'm doing is hurting myself. I'm not helping myself I'm gonna deal with it later. I'm only hurting myself when I can deal with it today. Why put off something today that you can deal? Why put off something to put it off to tomorrow that you can deal with today? I think that's the way the saying goes. Why I can be better today? There's some issues that I'm dealing with right now that the Lord is dealing with me on. I'm dealing with it. It's time for me to deal with it. It's been time for me to deal with it. I'm being point blank about Adam today. This ain't about nobody else. I'm talking about me. Yeah, you might say, but Minister Adam, Minister Adam got issues too. Minister Tucker got issues too. But we all got to deal with them. Everybody that's on the face of the earth got issues. I'm telling you that right now. You might say that I'm bishop this, I'm pastor this. Pastor got issues. Bishop got issues. Evangelist got issues. Prophets got issues. But we want to hide behind the fact that we want to hide behind the title. No, I'm not hiding behind the title today. I'm breaking it loose today. Deal with it. Deny yourself and deal with it. Because the coming of the Lord is right at hand. If we don't deal with it, if we do not deal with the issues of our lives, if we don't come to God full force and just be honest with Him and ourselves that we got a problem. We got a problem. Look, these are some of the places that we got problems with. We got problems in the church. We got problems in our homes. We got problems in our government system. We got problems everywhere. We got problems around this world. But until somebody faces up the fact to deal with it, just deal with it, we'll be better off. And I don't mean, look, the world is getting worse. It's going to wax worse and worse as the years go on. It's not going to get any better. The world itself. I'm talking about the earth, okay? But if we deal with it, we'll be better off. Well, how, well, you just said it's going to wax worse and worse, so how are we going to be better off? Because you won't have, if you deal with the issues and if you go ahead and let the Lord deal with your issues and you deal with it, not when I say you deal with it, I mean bring your problems to God, get them solved and everything else, then you'll be able to walk holy. You'll be able to walk just. You'll be able to be upright. You'll be able to be like Job. You'll be able to have the same saying that Jesus, like the Lord said unto Job. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Adam? Have you considered my servant Sarah? Have you considered my servant John? Have you considered my servant? Have you considered him?" So when the enemy comes to him again, he don't love you because of this, and this. And the Lord will remind the enemy, hey, look, he done already dealt with it. He dealt with it. She dealt with her issues. I don't know nothing about that issue. What are you talking about? But until you deal with it, the enemy can bring that to the Lord. But by his grace and his mercy, do you always want him to say, that's still my child, I still love him? Because it hurts God. It hurts God to tell the enemy. It hurts God to see you, to see us standing there in issues, to sit there in the slop gut of issues, to sit there in the mess of issues and not dealing with them. He's trying to pull us out. He's trying to bring us out. He's trying to redirect us, but we don't want to move. We don't want to move. We don't want to move. We don't want to take off the garments of sin. I don't care what's holding us back. Take it off. I don't care what's holding us back from reaching the levels that God wants us to go to. Because let me tell you something. If you leave this world, or if I leave this world with our works undone, ain't no hope of seeing heaven. You might as well not even think it. But the thing is, we have to deny ourselves, deny the pride in us, deny the thought of what somebody else going, what, how somebody's going to look at us, how somebody's going to feel about us while we're dealing with the issue. We got to deny that. Deny yourself. Deny the hidden issues of us. And when I mean deny the hidden issues of us, I don't mean to turn a blind eye to it. What I mean is deny yourself, deny your pride, and deal with it. Deal with it. Deal with the spirit that you're battling with. In and out of the church, saint and sinner. Saint and sinner. Saint of God, if you have an issue today, deal with it. This is blunt teaching today. Point blank teaching today. I'm not playing today. I'm just being blunt today. I'm sorry. I gotta, and I'm being blunt with myself today. I don't mean to offend anybody. I don't mean to hurt anybody. But this is just what it is. This is the word of God. We got to deal with it. Tired of seeing people crying in the middle of the night. I'm tired of seeing people crying at night because they got issues on their mind and they battling with it and they going, look, when you battle with stuff like that, don't you know you go through a depression? They go through a depression. They can't sleep at night. They can't do this. They can't do that because it's a spiritual thing. They battling with all these spirits. One of my favorite actors died from depression. Robin Williams, one of the most funniest men in Hollywood, kept everybody laughing. I mean, the movies that I've seen him play in kept me laughing. Boy, it kept me laughing. But I didn't know that he was dealing with depression. Because he was battling with those spirits. Spirit ain't nothing but a depression ain't nothing but a spirit. You better look, deal with it. Deal with it. Deny your pride. Deny yourself. Take off. You better crucify the flesh and deal with it. Deal with it. We got to deal with it. Because if we don't deal with it, we're going to find ourselves busting the lake of hell wide open if we don't deal with it. We got to deal with the hidden issues of our lives. Because if we don't, we are going to, oh my gosh. Let me say this. We have to. We have to deal with it. We have to deny ourselves and deal with the problems, deal with the issues of our lives. But also spiritually, too, we have to build. Look, the Bible says in Ephesians, leave us Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. And it reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And I love this part. See, sometimes we choose to want to blame others for the problems that we're going through. But my fight is not with my brother and my sister. Oh, I did this because that person did that to me. Do you know what he did to me? Do you know what she did to me? Do you know that my daddy ran off? My mama ran off? My wife doesn't love me anymore. My husband doesn't love. Look, that don't matter. And I don't mean to say that in a harsh way. That's not, when I say that don't matter, I don't mean to say it in a harsh way. It does matter that they did that. I didn't say that to be harsh. What I meant to say, I said it like this. I said that to say this. It does not matter what you go through. Don't let that problem bring you to a level of a place where you're battling with yourself and you're battling with that individual. Let it go. Let the hurt go. Let the pain go. Let the envy go. Let the jealousy go. Let it all go. Let it all go. Because in verse number 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Amen. And then in verse 13, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." That evil day is now. We got to gird up. We have to get ourselves ready so we can deal with the issues. I'm here to encourage you. You can make it. But you gotta deny yourself, and you gotta deal with it. You gotta deny yourself, and you gotta deal with it. Deny the fact of your pride. Deny your flesh. Deny, crucify your flesh, and deal with it. Saint of God, man of God, woman of God, Adam. Deal with it. What God has told us to do, deal with it. If God has told us to leave a certain person alone, deal with it. We done dealt with certain people for so long that we feel like we can't break away, deal with it. But what's going to happen if they leave? What's going to happen if that person leaves me? Or what's going to happen if that... Deal with it. Bring your burdens to the Lord. Bring it to the altar. But the Bible says lay aside every weight. If it's a weight, lay it aside. If it's hurting you, lay it aside. Don't worry about it. Lay it aside and deal with it. Deny yourself. Deny yourself for that thing that's hurting you. Deny that thing. Deny the thing that's hurting you in your life. And when I say deny that thing that's hurting you, deny that thing of letting it have power over you, of letting it have dominion over your life. Deny it. Deny yourself. And when I mean deny yourself of it, deny yourself to think that I need this in my life to cope. You don't need, if it's hurting you, you don't need it in your life to cope. That's the thing. People are going around, they getting into stuff that they don't need to be getting into because they think that they need that stuff to cope with. No. No. When God has got joy waiting on you, I don't need, Jesus. God, we have something to cope with our issues. You don't need no Drug Anonymous program. You don't need no AA meetings. You don't need no psychiatrist. Everything you need is in the Word of God. Adam, saint of God, woman of God, man of God. Sinner man, sinner woman, we got everything we need. We got everything we need. So let the chips fall where they may. And let me tell y'all something. If a person or a thing wants to leave you alone because you choose to walk with God, let them go. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. And I'm saying it, and I don't care who's listening to me. Let it go. Let them go. Because it's not right. It's not right for people to have to deal with the issues of life, and they want to come out. They want to come out. But they got stuff bogging them down. They got people bogging them down. They got... Well, I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should go here and go there. I don't think you should. If the Lord done told you to do it, do it. And if people walk out of your life, let them go. Let it go. Amen. We must understand that we have a God to glorify, and a God, we have a God to glorify, and we have a life that has to be justified. Amen. I just made that up, y'all. We got a God to glorify and a life that must be justified. And we must understand that we have to walk in the things of God to be able to make it through this life. We got to walk in the ways of God to make it through this life. But you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. And look, let me tell you something. Once you get to that place, don't think, oh, I've arrived, or I've done this, or I've arrived in this. Once you make it to that place that God has got for you, don't ever mistake yourself that I've arrived. Don't ever do that. Why? Because always remember, and don't ever say, if you're walking with Christ, don't ever say, well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't have done that if I was in Sister So-and-So's shoes. I wouldn't have done this if I was in Brother So-and-So's shoes. I wouldn't have walked away from God. I wouldn't have. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they went through. You don't look down on nobody, thinking that you God's gift to God. The devil is a liar. A lot of saints of God, they walk around here. I ain't going to say a lot. Some saints of God, they walking around here like they God's gift to God. What is wrong with you? I'm nobody. I'm a nobody that became a somebody because somebody saved me, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a nobody that became a somebody because the greater was put on the inside of me. I'm just a nobody without him. Without him, nothing is possible. With him, all things are possible. I can't be saved without him. I live, I move, and I have my very being because of him. My children are protected, not because of me, not because of their daddy, but because of the Father. The Father, the Father above all fathers, Jesus Christ. My wife is protected, not because of me. Me and my wife have everything we need, not because of me, not because of her, not because of our jobs, but because of Christ. Because of Christ. So don't ever think that you've arrived once you get to the place that God has called for you to be. Because remember, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. Always remember, if you're a saint of God, whether you be man, woman, boy, or girl, always remember that you are just one slip up away without the Holy Ghost. You are one slip away from backsliding without the Holy Ghost. Because without the Holy Ghost, you mess up all the time. But with the Holy Ghost and you following the instructions of the Holy Ghost, you won't mess up. Amen. Deny yourself and deal with it. That's the topic today, y'all. Deny yourself and deal with it. Deal with it. Because if you ain't dealing with it, I'm going to tell you now, if we don't deal with our issues, there's really no hope. There's hope out there, but if you don't catch on to the hope and deal with the issues, if we don't catch on to the hope of Christ, the hope of glory, and deal with the issues that are in our lives, then there is no hope. What is all this for if we don't deal with it? What is all this for if we don't deny ourselves and just deal with the issues that are in front of us? But we want to keep lollygagging along. I'll deal with it tomorrow. There's an old song by the Winans, and I'm wrapping up here because we only got a couple minutes, but there's an old song by the Winans that says, tomorrow, I'll give my life tomorrow. I thought about today, but it was so much easier to say tomorrow. And in that song it says, Who said that tomorrow would ever come? Everybody's leaving here left and right. And it ain't just because of COVID either. But everybody's leaving here left and right. Man, woman, boy, and girls are leaving here. Babies. I used to say it a lot. There's big graves and there's little graves. There's middle-aged graves. There's older graves. There's younger graves. And they're all leaving here. But it is up to us to be ready. It is up to us. It is up to me for me to be ready, because nobody can stand before God for me, and nobody can stand before God for you. Nobody. As much as, and I say this, and I'm going to leave this in my closing, I love my wife very much. I love her to life. I love my children to life. But I can't go before God for them. They got to stand before God for themselves. Just like they can't go, they love me to life, but they can't go before God before me. I love my parents. I love them. But I can't go before God for them, and they can't either for me. Love all my family. Can't go before God for them, and they can't go for me. I hope this topic has blessed you on today. I hope this topic has brought some clarity to our lives. In Jesus' name, God bless you. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this is the only way to see the Lord one day. For this is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. In Jesus' name. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, and this is the Spirit Live Network. This is the Transformation Station, where we use the Word of God to help transform the lives of man. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love each and every one of you, and I pray that this week be abundance of blessings on your lives. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to take this time to thank our founder, Bishop Cook, for allowing us to come once again. In Jesus' name. As I said before, God bless you. You all have a very, very blessed week. And until next Saturday, if you do not hear my voice again, as my grandmother always used to say, if you don't see me again, I'll see you in the rapture. I know y'all can't see me because it's radio. So if y'all don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Love you. In Jesus' name.